I love that song that we just sang, that Jesus said who was and who is and who is to come. If you've been joining us for Wednesday nights for our study on Revelation, we just covered that verse where he said that, who was, who's in the historical Christ in your life, who is right now, and who also will be in the future. So that's a good plug for the Wednesday night study for Revelation. But this morning we read again the story of the loaves and the fishes. And that's one of my favorite stories. Of course, I like food, and that helps a lot, right? Loaves and fishes. Jesus had compassion on a whole bunch of people. It said he lifted his eyes. He lifted his eyes. So he must have been like, maybe in prayer. And it said he lifted his eyes, and he looked at the multitude of the people. And he asked one of his disciples named Philip. He said, "Phil, how are we going to feed all these people?" And Phil said, "I don't know, man. There's a whole lot of them, Lord." But Jesus had compassion on them, and he did something that was miraculous, but he did something that is normal in the kingdom of God. There are certain things that are, I'm going to call them principles or ordinances, that take place in the kingdom of God. They're not rules and regulations. Nobody likes rules and regulations. This is simply the way God is. The Bible is full of the way God is, and the way he is the way his kingdom is. And there's a principle in the kingdom of God that God can take a little bit of something and make it into a mountain. That's a principle or an ordinance of the kingdom of God. The people are fed, they're satisfied, and there's food left over, 12 basketfuls of bread. And Jesus did this twice in the Gospels. He fed the multitudes two different times. This is the first time, and he quizzed Philip. He asked him in the front of the other disciples, "Where are we going to buy bread for so many?" Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we going to buy bread for so many people?" And you notice that two of the disciples came up with a solution. Now, they were political disciples, you understand. And I'm not taking either one of their sides. But you see, Philip was a Democrat. He said, "We're going to throw money at, if we have a lot of money, then we can actually get a lot of food for all these people. Because money is the solution to all the problems." But Andrew said, no. We have a child here. We have to look, it's government of the people, Lord. We have to look to the people for the solution to this problem. And if you think about it, in another account of the Gospels, the disciples got together and says, "Lord, send them away. They can go buy their own food." That was the independents. They can go buy their own food, right? But there was another solution that Jesus came up with. He said, "I'm the solution. Have the people sit down. Have them all sit down." He proved to be the true solution, didn't he? The fourth solution is Jesus. In satisfying the need of the people, Jesus used what somebody had made available to him. In this case, as in most others, he used a very insignificant person in the sight of other people with very insignificant resources. But this is a precept or a principle in the kingdom of God. It's all through the Bible. When the water was bitter, Elijah cast a little salt in the water and it made the whole river pure. The whole scriptures are replete with examples of God taking a little and making a lot out of it. Can you understand that principle? Because it's difficult for us to understand that unless we begin to live in the principles and the ordinance of the kingdom of God. The practical lesson is clear. Whenever there's a need, give all that you have to Jesus and let him do the rest. You said it this morning. Take it to the cross, leave it there. Let him do the rest. Begin with what you have, but make sure you give it all to him. I was reading on the internet the other day that many churches are in need. There's churches going into foreclosure, churches hurting in this country. The economy has really affected a lot of churches. But God can take what little we give and make it go a long ways. But the giving has to happen first, doesn't it? The boy with the loaves and fishes could have said, "Wait a minute, that's my lunch. Excuse me. You're going to give away my loaves and fish? I brought that. My mom packed it. She wrapped it in saran wrap for me. You're not going to take my lunch and give it to all these people. It's mine." He could have said that, couldn't he? I'll eat it all by myself, thank you very much. Loaves, and they're barley loaves. I mean, not just loaves, they're barley loaves. Mom made them. But I know many people sitting here today who live by the principles of the kingdom of God, and you know that that little boy stepped forward in faith and offered something that he had to Jesus. And you know what? He ate his lunch too, didn't he? There are many principles of the kingdom of God, and one of them is the principles of giving and receiving, that you can never outgive God. The principle of tithing, we call it. The word tithe means tenth. It's a word that means tenth. The principle of tithing. Many of you sitting here today know exactly what I'm talking about. The Bible tells us that when we tithe, God will pour out his blessing upon us. Did you know that? Did you know he said, let's read it in Malachi chapter 3. If you want to turn to that, you can. Malachi, I almost said Malachi, which is the Italian prophet. But Malachi chapter 3, it's in your Bible. It's the last book of the Old Testament, just before the New Testament, says Malachi chapter 3. It says this, for I am the Lord, I do not change. Did you hear that? God said, I am the Lord, I do not change. He didn't say, when the New Testament comes along, I'm going to change. He didn't say that. He said, I am the Lord, I do not change. It says God never changes. He never changes. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. What do they mean by that? Because remember the reading today from the Old Testament says, you've strayed from my ways. You've gone after other gods. You've worshipped idols, and you have not kept the ordinances and the principles of my kingdom. But even though that's happened, you're still my people, and you're not consumed by fire, O sons of Jacob. I'm going to let you off the hook. Yet from the days of your fathers, you've gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, says God, and I will return to you. You want a big dose of God? Return to him, he says. This is pretty cut and dry. But you said, and this is God speaking again, you said, in what way shall we return? And here's God's answer to the rhetorical question that he just asked. Listen, will a man rob God? Will a man steal from God? Yet, God says, you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? And God answers, in tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this. Did you hear what God just said through his prophet? That if you don't tithe, you're a robber? That's pretty strong language. He must not have meant that, huh? If you don't tithe, you're stealing from God. Nah. A robber is somebody who steals. How can we be a robber if we don't donate part of our income to God? That doesn't make any sense. But the principle of the kingdom of God is that tithing will always be his command. The good news is he lets us keep 90% of our income. Thank God for that. God wants us to put him to the test. Did you see that? Put me to the test concerning this, says God. Put him to the test. That means do it, because I will show you that I follow my word. What I say will not return to me void, but will go out and accomplish that for which I purpose to it. God wants us to put him to the test regarding this principle. Says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you just a little tiny blessing. Is that what he said? No. He said, such a blessing that there will be not room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. Says who? This is me, right? No, I didn't write this, but I'm preaching it. Thank God. Because the Lord of hosts, our living God, said that. I'm not making this up. And all the nations will call you blessed, for you will be delightful, a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Did you get all that? Let's reverse it, okay? Let's look at the other side of it. I know I'm preaching to the choir for a lot of you here, but this is good stuff because it's a principle of the kingdom of God. If you do not tithe, you will be cursed with a curse that you will bring upon yourself. That's what he just said. If you do not tithe, you will be cursed with a curse that you bring upon yourself. You will be living your life under a curse, and until you, by faith, start tithing in obedience to my principles, you will continue to live under a curse. Well, that's what it says. Look at verse 9 again. Verse 9 in Malachi chapter 3 says, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even the whole nation. If you do not tithe, now listen to this. If you do not tithe, the devourer, do you know somebody who's a devourer? He's talking about the enemy here, huh? The devourer will be active in your life. Say what? If you do not tithe, the devourer will be active in your life. He will ruin the fruit of your labors and make what you do yield not be enough all the days of your life. That's what God said in Malachi. That's what it says. Look again at verse 11 if you're reading it. If you tithe, it says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. I will, says God. I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. And if you don't tithe, he, the devourer, will destroy the fruit of your ground and of the vine, and it will fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. As I alluded to a few minutes ago, many of you are faithful in tithing, so I'm preaching to the choir. But I want you to understand also that tithing is a principle, an ordinance in the kingdom of God. There are many here today who have offered to give testimony of how their lives have changed when they began to tithe. How the step in faith to give one-tenth of their money to God every month has resulted in incredible and mixed blessings and miraculous things occurring in their lives. Claire and I are just one example of this. We sit down at the end of each month because we don't know what our income's going to be. It's not fixed. And we calculate how much our gross pay was and that we write a check to St. Paul's for a tenth of that amount. No questions asked. It's not a question of, we're not looking at each other saying, should we this month? No, it's never a question. It's not a question of, are we going to tithe this month? The thing is, we look at each other and we say, God is gracious and merciful because we get to keep 90% of everything he's given us. Thank God for that. It's all his anyway, right? I said, it's all his anyway, right? Yeah. See, we've been doing this for years, and we'll always do it because we take God at his word. I believe what he says. He wrote it in Malachi. It's right there. He never changes. The principles of the kingdom of God, and there's 10 of them, by the way, and I'm going to continue to preach on the principles and ordinances of the kingdom of God for many sermons from now on. I want to start preaching about the principles of the kingdom of God, the things that in the kingdom that are always true. They're always true no matter what. I believe that God is truly alive. Is God alive? Yes, he is. And he's able and willing to take care of us because he loves us. And that the principles and ordinances that he established for his kingdom are now and always and will be true and enforced in our lives. Did you read it today? Did you hear it? Claire and I have never been without food, clothing, and shelter in our 20 years of marriage. And I'm not saying it's all been peaches and cream. But part of the blessing, listen to this now, part of the blessing is what God does on the inside. Amen? Do you remember the poem called If? Anybody ever read a poem called If? All about you are losing their heads and blaming it on you, and do you remember that? Okay, one of the lines in that poem says, if you can look at victory and defeat and treat these two impostors just the same, then you'll be a man, my son. Well, that's true because our relationship with God does not mean that we're never going to suffer anything in our lives, and it doesn't mean that we're always going to win. What it means is that God changes us from within so that the way we deal with life is so much more blessed than it was before. He gives us that wonderful hope, and then he pours things into our lives. He pours things into our lives. Blessings and miracles. I'm not just talking about money here. I'm talking about things that come at sometimes the strangest times. Nick and Robin have shared with me about their tithing. Elaine and Paul have shared with me about their tithing. Jeff said the other day, he came up to me, he says, I made some money this week and I could hardly wait to put the tenth of it into the offering because I know that when I do that, God will pour more work my way. And I said, praise God for that. Nick and Robin have offered to give testimony about how their lives have changed since they began tithing and how they always have enough. How the money sometimes comes from places and people at the most unusual and unexpected times. And when least expected, and that God meets their needs and pours out his blessing on them for their faithfulness, not just financially, but in their lives. Paul and Elaine have said that miraculous times of abundance and the lean times of need and want have always been tempered by the outpouring of the blessings that God has for them. The blessings. And I'm not just talking about money, as I said. The blessings. Jeff told me, he said, man, he said, when I make that money, I know that that's from God. I know that that's from God. The loaves and the fishes that Jesus fed the people with, he fed thousands of people with a little bit. The boy who was willing to give up his small lunch for the benefit of so many was a blessing to all of them. You'd be amazed at how God can and will multiply blessings on you for just that 10%. I talked to a wise man last week, and he told me, listen to this. I talked to a very wise man last week, and he told me that when people come to him for counseling in the church, when people come to him for counseling and said, oh, my life is so messed up. I've got this wrong and this wrong and this wrong, and this is happening and that's happening. He said one of the first questions he asked them is, how's that tithing going now? Are you pretty much caught up? And he says, 99% of the time they say, well, you know, we don't generally tithe. You know, we put a 10 spot in the offering once in a while, but, you know, we don't have any extra, and we just need it for paying bills and stuff. And he says, well, he says, I probably can't help you, because what you've done is you've allowed yourself to live under a curse. And he said, until that curse is lifted, and he said, I can't lift it. Until that curse is lifted, this is the way you're going to have to live. You understand that that's a principle of the kingdom of God. He wasn't making this up. And I'm not making this up. And I wouldn't presume to stand up here and say that if you tithe, you won't have any problems. I wouldn't go there. I wouldn't presume to go there. But you will live under a blessing instead of a curse. That wise man, by the way, was Bishop Kessler. He and our patriarch also said this. He said this many times, and he said it many years ago, and he said it recently. He said, we don't preach tithing because the church needs the money. We don't preach tithing because the church needs the money. We preach tithing because it's a principle of the kingdom of God, and because we want to see the people get the blessing in their lives from giving a tenth of their income. The blessing of God for being faithful and obedient. And by the way, the church could use the money too to pay the bills, right? But I have a good question for you, those of you, if anybody out there has not been tithing, and I don't know everybody who has and everybody who hasn't, but I have a good question for those of you who haven't been tithing. Do you want to live like Paul said in our New Testament reading today? Did you catch where Paul said we're supposed to be living? Did you catch where he said you live? And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. There you are. There you are, seated in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. That's where I want to live. Isn't that where you want to live? Seated up there with Christ Jesus. It says God raised us up, all of us. Anybody who's a Christian, God raised you up, and you're sitting there with Jesus Christ that he might show the incomparable riches of his grace. And I would never say to anybody here that if you don't tithe, you're not a Christian. I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't go there. I wouldn't presume. So please don't think I'm saying that. I'm just saying if you want the blessings in your life, if you want the blessings in your life, then abide by the ordinances and the principles of the kingdom of God. In my distant past, I didn't tithe. I was a marginal Christian in a lot of ways. I can personally tell you that when you obey the ordinance of God, he will honor you in your life. He will honor you, period. The choice is yours, all of ours, and it's an easy choice to make. So maybe this Lenten season, you want to be like the young man with the loaves and fishes. Remember the widow? Jesus was standing with some of his disciples and looking at the treasury in the temple. And all the rich people were coming in and holding up their $100 bills and putting them in the offering for everybody to see. And then a poor widow, a poor woman who hardly had anything, she had 10 pennies to her name. She took a penny and she put it in that offering. And Jesus pointed her out and said to the disciples, she's given more than all of them. The disciples said, she only gave a penny. Those people are putting in $100 bills. And Jesus said, no, they gave from their abundance. She's giving from her need. She trusts God she gave that last, that tenth of what she had. The choice is yours. And it's an easy choice to make. I praise and thank God for the faithfulness of the people sitting here today who have said, yes, I've been living by the principle of the kingdom of God. I give a tenth of my income to the church as I obey God in that aspect. But for those of you who haven't, maybe this Lenten season is time for you to make a decision, to make a choice. And I guarantee you it'll be a life-changing decision to quit living under a self-imposed curse and to live in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages of your life, so that in the coming ages of your life, he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. That's where I want to live. I want to live in that place. I don't want to live under a curse. I don't want to be accused of being a robber. I want to live in that holy place where Jesus is right now. Where do you want to live? Amen?
Amen.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you pour out your blessing upon us. We thank you, Lord, that you're abundant in all of your blessings. That not only do you feed us, Father, but that there is plenty left over. That you feed us with bread, with wine, with all the good things of life. Father, we thank you that you've made it so easy for us to benefit from your blessings. In Jesus' name.